Oh, here it is. Okay, now that we're recording, Community Services Committee meeting of the City of Madison, September 25th, 2024, 5:34 p.m. I am calling the meeting to order, and we do have a quorum of the committee. With that, our first agenda item is our approval of our minutes of the last meeting, which was April 17th of 2024. Can I have a motion? Michelle, I see your hand. Michelle is making a motion for approval. Do I have a second? Second by Alder Curry. Thank you so much. We have a motion and a second. We can record it as a unanimous approval of the minutes unless I hear otherwise. Anybody wants to raise their hand? A moment. So we'll record it as a unanimous approval of the minutes. Our next agenda item is public comment. Do we have any public comments registered, Yolanda?
We do not.
We do not, Madeline. Okay, great. Disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Do we have any disclosures or recusals? If we do, please raise your hand. Seeing none, we will move to new business, which is agenda item number 2, Legistar 85294, discussion of the 2025 operating budget update. I will turn it to you, Yolanda.
All right. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here. So I'm actually going to pass it over to Jim O'Keefe. He is going to just give an update for the committee on the 2025 operating budget and how that is impacting or will impact the Community Development Division as a whole. So I will turn it over to Jim.
Jim, we are unable to hear you right now, so I'm not sure if you're speaking or not, but we cannot hear you.
No, you can't. I hope you can't, because I haven't, well, the only word I said, I don't think I would have wanted you to hear. So having trouble
okay,
getting.
Okay, good. We can hear and see you. Thank you.
I was trying to get my video and audio up and running. Hey, haven't seen this group in a while, so it's nice to be with you, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes of your night. We thought it important for you to get a sense for what's going on with the city's budget, both from a larger perspective and its potential impact on the Community Development Division. So I want to just spend a few minutes on this and then open it up to questions that you may have. Do my best to try to answer them. So you've all heard about the city's structural deficit projected to be $22 million. For 2025, but with the potential, if unchecked, to rise to more than $60 million by 2030. I would describe this situation as largely the result of two kind of interrelated prescriptions or directives imposed on cities, including Madison, by state government. The first is the forced reliance on the property tax as the primary source of revenue from which to finance municipal services. Unlike cities in many states around the country, Madison cannot charge a local sales or income tax. And though we are the second largest city in Wisconsin, we receive one of the lowest state aid payments. On a per person basis, Madison's payment is 85% lower than the average made to all other Wisconsin cities. That makes our city even more dependent on property taxes to fund city services. And it makes even more onerous the second directive from state government, which is that the state limits how much revenue cities can collect in property taxes from one year to the next in a way that does not allow growing cities like ours to keep up with the cost of the services we provide. So that's the situation we and a growing number of other cities around the state find themselves in, I would add two quick points. Remember, we face a $22 million deficit next year. If Madison's state aid payment, again on a per person basis, rose to just the average level of other Wisconsin cities, we would receive $46 million more each year than we currently do. Alternatively, if Madison was allowed to charge a half cent local sales tax, it would generate more than $50 million a year. And importantly, much of it would be paid by commuters and visitors to our city who benefit from city services, but contribute little to their cost. Think Badger football, think Dairy Expo, think Iron Man, and the kinds of crowds that those attract to our city. Go to any major thoroughfare into the city early in the morning and watch traffic stream in the morning and exit when it leaves. Those are folks who use city services, but there really isn't much of any mechanism by which they can contribute to paying for those services. Neither of those options is available to us. So the only solutions that remain are to address the deficit through a combination of reduced spending and increased fees and special charges, or by going to residents through a referendum to get permission to raise property tax levies beyond authorized levels. And that's what this council has decided to do. Our estimated structural deficit in 2025 is $22 million. The city's 2024 operating budget is about $405 million. And within it, the Community Development Division has an annual budget of about $21 million, $16 million of which comes from local revenues, mostly property taxes, and $5 million we get through an assortment of mostly federal and some state grants. Those grants tend to come with pretty significant restrictions in terms of how they can be used. In community development, you all know we're a team of about 45 people whose mission it is to support residents of our city who face barriers to enjoying a good quality of life, economic barriers, social, cultural barriers that make it more difficult for some to find and maintain stable housing, for example, or secure gainful employment, or find quality childcare or youth programming, or age successfully, or connect in meaningful ways with neighbors or others in the community, all the kinds of things that that we try to assist with out of this division. We're not direct service providers. We don't build housing. We don't operate neighborhood centers or homeless shelters. We don't provide youth programming or job training. Rather, we support financially and in other ways a network of community partners, mostly nonprofit organizations that do work directly with residents across the city and offer them needed resources and programming. So fully 70% of CDD's budget that is not constrained by those federal or state grant restrictions, fully 70% of that money, or about $11 million per year, goes to support what we call purchase of service contracts, which are grants to community partners to support the services and programs and activities that they offer. Those funds are allocated to agencies through a series of competitive application processes. We call them RFP, or Request for Proposals, processes, each of which focuses on specific program or activity areas. So, for example, we do an RFP process around child and youth services, another for employment and career counseling. We do a separate one for homeless services. We do an RFP oriented around neighborhood centers, one around older adult services. There are about 15 or 16 in all, including a handful that are supported through the city's capital budget. And collectively, they support nearly 100 different organizations across the city. Each year, funding for 2 to 3 program areas is put out to bid. And when allocation decisions are finalized by the Common Council, it is presumed that those commitments will continue for about 5 years, or until funds in that in any particular program area are once again put out to bid. I tell you about or emphasize the fact that 70% of the city's budget goes to agency contracts in order to provide some context regarding the danger of budget deficits and potential needs to cut spending. As I said, the council has decided to seek approval from Madison residents to exceed state levy limits. However, since that vote will occur just 1 week before the city is required to adopt its 2025 budget, the mayor and the council need to prepare for the possibility that the referendum will be unsuccessful. And to deal with that possibility, the mayor has put forward a multi-year strategy that will require a combination of immediate and future spending cuts, fee increases, and use of the city's surplus or rainy day fund to address a projected deficit. What does that mean for the Community Development Division and our community partners? Well, short term, earlier this summer, our agency, like every other city agency, received these budget instructions from the mayor. First, each of us will need to spend 1% less in 2025 than our budgets allow. That is certainly a manageable task, as for any number of reasons, most agencies, including ours, don't spend 100% of their authorized budgets in any year. Factors like staff turnover, both internal within the division and affecting agencies that we provide funds for to provide services themselves, all of those things can contribute to spending less than the full authorized levels. So spending at 99% of authorized levels is not going to be a difficult task. But secondly, the mayor asked each agency to draw up a list of potential spending reductions totaling 5% of our current authorized spending levels. For this division, that translates to about $800,000. These would involve only general fund supported activities, and they would be permanent cuts. So our team looked for options that we thought would affect small numbers of people. We looked for options where we thought funding might be available from other sources if ours was reduced. And we considered areas that fall a bit outside of our core mission. The suggestions that we offered for the mayor's consideration would reduce spending for purchase of service contracts by a total of about $650,000 and take the rest from reduced spending for staffing. Our suggestions, along with those from all other city agencies, are now being evaluated by the mayor and her budget team. She may accept all or some of those recommendations, and she may decide to go in a different direction. Our preference, of course, is that none of these cuts are accepted or are deemed necessary, a decision, of course, that will hinge on the outcome of the referendum. The mayor is scheduled to make her decisions and release her budget on October 8th. That budget will be reviewed by the Finance Committee on October 14th and 15th. The Finance Committee will make whatever revisions to it that they deem appropriate on October 28th. And the budget must be finalized and adopted by the Common Council the week of November 11th. So let me just close by saying we do not want to make the cuts that we've suggested to the mayor. Neither do we think that if they are made, that they will cause widespread hardship or disruption to those affected by it. Don't mean to minimize the impact that they'll have, but we've tried very hard to identify cuts that we think will not cause severe damage. But if the city's budget challenges are not addressed, either through referendum or through increases in state aids or by gaining the authority to impose a local sales tax, then we are going to be back in the same position next year and the year after that and the year after that of having to make further cuts. And then it will be much more difficult since so much of our funding is devoted to purchases of services. It will be very difficult to avoid decisions that will have a much greater impact on those that we serve. So just wanted to give that brief overview about what's happening in our budget process and how we're dealing with it. And I'm happy to entertain any questions about that you might have.
Thank you so much, Jim. Questions for Jim, and please raise your hands if you have any questions. Alder Curry.
Hi, Jim. You can also tell me that this can be sidebarred or you'll get back to us with more information. I've been receiving some emails specifically from like nonprofit leaders and folks focused on specific services within not just CDD, but older adult services has come up a lot in the recent couple weeks. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you could foreshadow with us with the anticipated cut or anticipated referendum not being successful, if there's anything that you all are thinking about that could be fueling some of those communications.
So Alder Curry, I'm going to take that question as one specific to the older adult program area. Please let me know if the question extends beyond that, but I suspect it might be focused on older adult programming, if only because we are in the midst of an RFP process at present in that program area. And just today, CDD staff presented to the aging committee its recommendations regarding the allocation of some little under $840,000 for older adult services. We have instituted, and I'll get into this and maybe ask Yolanda to help in as much detail as you'd like, but we have tried to institute some pretty fundamental changes in that program area. In particular, in effort to extend our reach to agencies and to older adults that have not been adequately served in the city in the past through older adult services programming. And so as we try to make those changes and as we try to invite a larger group of service providers that have not previously been funded in this program area, but that we think are better connected and better able to serve a more diverse population of older adults, that money is going to have to come from someplace. And the someplace that much of it is coming from is funding that one of our more traditional providers, specifically Newbridge, has enjoyed over many, many years. So there's a lot of conversation that's taking place about the decision to move money away from Newbridge and into these other organizations. As you might imagine, it's caused quite a bit of angst among the folks at Newbridge. And so that's the conversation that's taking place. But I guess the last point that I would make, Alder Curry, about that is that nothing about that funding process or the decisions that the recommendations that we have put to the aging committee, none of them are directly impacted by the pending structural deficit or the referendum. We did not propose changing the funding commitment to older adult services as part of the suggestions that we put forward to Mayor Rhodes Conway. So this is kind of proceeding in isolation of or independent of that larger budget question.
Thank you so much for that clarification of difference between RFP and developing the operating budget. Considering, and I'm a little bit more removed these days, but knowing, for instance, my former employer at the YWCA, more when you talk about social services and a lot of the portfolio that the CDD benefits. It's like human and basic needs and services. And considering the amount of jobs that I see for nonprofits in development and fundraising, knowing that more and more providers are either coming to the table or the pot is dwindling or a combination of both, and that you're kind of precipitating conversations with committees that ultimately lead to the council's decision, is there any thing that you can think of right now or to inform the Community Services Committee of that would assist in your endeavors or the CDD's endeavors or just even overall city and operating budget that could help us explain like the phenomenon that's going on, that the difficult decisions government and municipalities are going to have to make with their budgets, but also how the rest of the community can also help to sustain some of these very vital services. So I guess my question is, how do you see CSC helping with some of those conversations, or even as a committee talking about some of those conversations as we may review like RFP processes or provide feedback on those, et cetera, or be contacted by community members?
That's a big question, Alder Curry. I guess I would say a couple of things to it, and Yolanda may have other thoughts to add. So we're operating currently in an environment of significant financial deprivation when it comes to city budgets. We have endeavored in this current budget exercise to insulate the vast majority of funding for purchase of service contracts and the ongoing commitments that we have made to agencies through this variety of different funding processes. As you know, those funding processes generally tend to provide the only opportunity over a period of 3, 4, 5 years, the only opportunity through which we can seek additional resources in any particular program area. And you've seen that recently as we've come through this committee with funding for crisis intervention and prevention services in the youth and adult employment programming. Those have provided opportunities, and the council has responded by making more resources available in those different program areas. As it turns out, for older adult services, kind of anticipating that we were going to have a difficult budget year, in our last budget, we made to the council a request to increase funding for that particular program area. And I think we got a 7.5% increase. So this committee, through those different funding processes, has always been a strong advocate to the council for articulating the needs for resources, and often for more resources in each program area. I think that role will continue and become ever more important. And should it not be possible to increase the financial commitment to, you know, any or all of these program areas, then I think committees like this one are going to be instrumental in helping us sort of navigate through a process where there are fewer resources available or no growth in resources, and how to adjust what our expectations are or what our priorities are in terms of the use of those funds. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of generic, but I think that advocacy role, both in terms of trying to attract additional resources where we know it's needed, and in the absence of not, in the absence of that, trying to determine how to go forward with without, you know, the funding that that we and that our community partners need. Those are going to be important roles.
Thank
If
you,
I could,
Jim.
oh, I'm
Any,
sorry.
go ahead, Yolanda. Go ahead.
If I could just add one thing that you all as a committee will be a part of in the coming year is we will be going or reissuing our RFP around crisis intervention and prevention. And that is probably one of our broadest areas across the service areas within my unit because it covers anything from support for shelter, support for our individuals and families that are impacted by domestic violence to currently youth restorative justice to case management facilitation, resource service facilitation. So there's a lot within that RFP, or there was a lot that was in the last RFP. And I know one of the things that we will be doing as we begin our community engagement process early next year is really working to see if those are still the needs and if there are other things that we may want to prioritize within that specific funding area. And so the Community Services Committee obviously will be a part of that process from beginning to end.
Thank you, Yolanda. Other questions? I have one question if but I'm waiting to see if others. But I have one question. Thank you, Jim, for your answer to specific to I think more to older adults, but just generally speaking, I'm just trying to figure out like the timing in which the committee is going to get information about what you're proposing to the council so that we also are, I think many of us are at, that's why we are on this committee, kind of are in conversation and connected with many of the social community services needs in the community. So are we going to get an email specifically to the committee informing us of what you're submitting and
Are you talking now again about older adult services?
no, just about the entire budget. Your entire department budget. Like, are you gonna say, I guess what I'm asking the question, but I'm saying, could we get an email with like what is being submitted so this committee can inform ourselves early on? And if there are members of this committee that individually want to reach out and you know, present their own opinion, again, not on behalf of the committee, but individually, that there is just a specific information flow to the committee.
Sure, and I have to force myself not to respond to you as Alder Chair Bedard. So I am more than happy. It is public record, and I expect that council members may have already reviewed this, but I'm more than happy to forward I don't want to call them recommendations, but I'll call them the recommendations that this division submitted to the mayor in response to her request. Keep in mind that the 5% funding reductions that have been suggested are available only if they are needed. I would imagine that the mayor will be making some choices about which of those she might advance or not. But I'm certainly happy to share that, and we can do that as early as tomorrow. Share that document with this committee that describes in a bit more detail where those proposed reductions come from.
Thank you so much.
Like,
I appreciate it. And I realize we can, you know, people can go on and get them in other ways, but I think given the interest just of the committee, just being making it easy for this committee to access that information would be great. So thank you so much. Barbara, I see your hand up.
yeah, I have a question. The referendum that is out now, if that does pass, will that accommodate our problem for the near future, or are you looking at that will last a year or two, or is that something that is anticipated to resolve so it won't be coming back to the voters for another referendum? Or maybe you don't know.
So I believe that if the referendum is adopted, it will address the problem in 2025. I mentioned that Mayor Rhodes Conway has laid out a multi-year strategy that would take advantage of additional levy authority that referendum would provide. It would also require more modest spending cuts, but continued spending cuts over the course of the next 5 years. And it would apply portions of the city's surplus fund. So to make this a much more manageable problem than it would otherwise be without a referendum being approved. And to use that intervening 4 or 5 years to try to convince the state legislature to either ease the restrictions on property tax levies, to increase state aids to this city to take some of the pressure off the property tax, or to provide other means by which we can raise revenue. So in one sense, it's a one-term or one-time solution. But under the mayor's proposed multi-year plan, again, it eases the impact over the course of the next 5 years and makes the required reductions in spending much more manageable than they would otherwise be.
Thank you.
Is that clear enough?
Yeah, very clear. And I guess just if people ask, it's not like it's giving a whole bunch of money so that there's a ability to just spend. It still is a very conservative approach to trying to address the immediate need and the demands that the community has. Is that fair?
I think that's a fair statement, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments around this item? I am seeing none. So, great. So we'll move to the next agenda item, which is agenda item number 3, Legislator 85295, which are the committee reports. So the first committee report is the Early Child Care and Education Committee report.
Okay, that would be me. And we've had several meetings since April when we met last. And we distributed funding or made our recommendations to the council to approve funding back in May. And then there was an additional amount of money that was available to us. And so at the last meeting, the three programs were authorized a little bit more funding. The meeting before that we had, many programs came and discuss their needs and the fact that in the early childhood area, there are some significant issues that are happening for families because of the, if you're going to pay your staff and try to provide some of the benefits, then you have to get that money back from some places. And so the tuition that is asked of families can become prohibitive. And yet we want good quality people in those positions. And so there was a lot of discussion about that. It was nice for our committee to hear from several of the organizations. And honestly, they all had the same concerns, which I'm sure is across the board. In addition, we've done some modifying, or the staff have done the modifying of how they're looking at helping or looking at monitoring the approval of those agencies and trying to look at a process that maybe is not quite as labor intensive, but yet still gets at the needs that they have. And so made some slight modifications. And one of the changes was, rather than the full-fledged renewal process every year, it's now going to every three years. And then in between time, there would just be some reporting as well as staff doing some informal kinds of things. So basically our committee is trying to address as many needs as they can in the centers to make it as affordable and available to families, but yet still maintaining the quality and the standards that we need to make sure that we have safe childcare for children. And so I guess in summary, quickly, that's kind of what we've been up to. And we'll continue on. And of course, we are there addressing some of the budget concerns as well, and what might happen if the referendum doesn't pass and there's some cuts and things like that. So anyway, so that's kind of what that group has been up to.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Any questions for Barbara on the report? Hearing none, the next report is on Committee on Aging. Yolanda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't see the representative for the Committee on Aging here, but I will just share. And Jim kind of already spoke to it today. The Committee on Aging did come together to review staff funding recommendations and are going to move those recommendations for further review at their October meeting. That's it.
Thank you so much. Any questions on Committee on Aging? Seeing none, I'll take a motion for adjournment. But the happiest people are going to be the elders.
Moved.
Michelle, did you make a motion? Did I hear you? Yeah. Michelle, motion by Michelle, who is wants to second, second by Alder Curry. And we'll take it as a unanimous approval for adjournment. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank
See
you.
you all.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.